All right, good morning. My name is Josh Massey, and again, we're going to talk about nitrogen management and dynamics in switchgrass production. Like a lot of folks, we're starting to try to look at switchgrass and some other bioenergy crops for Oklahoma. Switchgrass is a perennial warm season native grass, widely adapted across the plains and across lots of the U.S. It grows well in marginal areas. And is again a good potential for cellulosic ethanol production. Right now, fertilization requirements for switchgrass vary throughout the U.S. Some places there's no need to apply, and some places do show some yield response to your applying. The general nitrogen recommendation is 50 to 75 pounds an acre. But again, this optimal requirement hasn't been shown consistently through literature and through some different studies across the U.S. An example of this is range from, again, 0 kilograms per hectare from Lemus and Thompson, and then to 168 kilograms nitrogen per hectare shown by Muir. Again, these are in different parts of the country, and it's just such a widely variable response. We're trying to look at it for Oklahoma. Our objectives in this study is to again calibrate and try to get an applied nitrogen rate to increase biomass yield. And we're also looking at translocation of nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, and some micronutrients as they move through the plant throughout the growing season. Here we'll primarily talk about nitrogen. We've got two study sites, one in Stillwater, Oklahoma, and one at Haskell, Oklahoma. They're on Canlow at Stillwater and Blackwell variety switchgrasses. Canlow is a lowland variety and Blackwell's upland variety. Stillwater site has been established for 10 plus years, and the Haskell site's fairly new. It was planted about 2 years ago. We have eight treatments, increasing at 30-pound increments at both the Stillwater and the Haskell sites. We applied nitrogen in a single application for treatments up to 60 pounds an acre. If treatments were greater than that, we applied that 60 pounds in the spring, and then we came back and amended that with a second application later in the year. We applied phosphorus and potassium just according to the soil test recommendations that were there, just to have adequate phosphorus and potassium. This is our first year results at Stillwater. And I apologize, we had some Macintosh and Windows compatibility problems, but on the y-axis there is the yield, and then on the x-axis is your pounds of nitrogen applied per acre. The mean yield there is shown, and this was not a statistically significant increase in yield, but we do have an increase from about 3 tons an acre to 6 tons an acre. Again, no significant difference in yield at the 0.05 level using proc mixed. At the Stillwater site, there's a lot of field variability. It's right next to in a creek bottom, and it is has some drainage areas in there. And when it was planted, it was broadcast, so there is some field variability there. When I used contrast statements to look for a trend analysis, there was a significant positive linear trend. Like I said, we're looking at about 3 tons per acre yield, moving up to about 6 tons. Looking at nitrogen use efficiency at Stillwater, that pretty much follows the trend on the yields. Our first applications of 30 pounds an acre and 60 pounds an acre did not increase yield when compared to the control. So that follows about the same trend as the yield. Our first year results at Haskell, we did not have a yield response to nitrogen fertilization. We're still trying to figure out why that is. Maybe there's some talk that there's some deep nitrogen in the soil, and we're continuing to try to test for that and look for that. As we're looking at seasonal nitrogen dynamics, at the Stillwater site, we harvested above ground, just basically whole plant samples in the 120-pound plots about every 45 days. And both above ground and below ground, we dug up the whole plant and separated those two things, and did ran analysis on above ground portions and then on the roots. The trend here in the above ground portions, the nitrogen decreased throughout the season, and the below ground portions, the nitrogen percentage increased as the season, as it got towards the time of senescence. We're continuing to look at that, and looking at that, the role of that nitrogen in the roots plays for the following year's regrowth. So we're looking at that with nitrogen right now, and we're also looking at it with some other nutrients to show how that's assisting in the next season's regrowth. We're planning to supplement this field study with a greenhouse study, setting up mesocosms to try to further get a handle on that nutrient translocation through the plant for the future. I'd like to thank the Oklahoma Bioenergy Center for their funding, Soil, Water, and Forage Analytical Laboratory. Folks that helped out a lot were Abdu Hongwei-Ma and Jamin Richards, and I'd like to thank Dr. Hailin Zhang, my advisor. With that, I'll take any questions.
Did you estimate the soil supply capacity of nitrogen from soil organic matter?
No, we didn't look at the organic matter.
Do you know what the organic matter in the soil is from the
It's pretty low, on the order of 1 or 2%. So, yes.
I guess it wasn't clear to me how you're going to study translocation. You have percent nitrogen in above ground, below ground, but we need to do nitrogen mass and changes over time in that nitrogen mass. In other words, get root mass as well. It wasn't clear to me how you're going to do that.
Yeah, we're looking at we're trying to take the same size bunch, basically, when we're taking that, and we're washing through the roots. And as we go into this greenhouse study, we will be taking more of the root mass and above ground mass to try to quantify that better.
Yeah, because it would be hard to recover those roots in a field trial, right?
Yes, and that's why we're moving to this greenhouse study. We're trying to get them pretty much the best we can, and we're removing most of them, but we know that we're missing some. So that's why we're trying to supplement with that greenhouse study. Yes.
As a follow-up to Chuck's inquiry, are you going to be looking at specific nitrogen pools in specific tissues of below ground, like rhizomes versus vine roots, or what's the strategy, and will you use like 15N labeling to demonstrate definitively the movement of N out of the root systems to the shoots?
We're looking at that for the greenhouse study, to try to use the labeling to do that. And right now, we're just separating it out as total above ground mass and total below ground. So. Yes?
Yes, could you just talk a little bit more about your hypothesis? in that. What are you thinking happens, and what do you want? What do you want to test in terms of the mechanism? A certain timing of translocation of nitrogen during senescence or maturation, or?
We're looking at how much is there at senescence. Hopefully that there would be some available there to the plant for the next spring's growth, perhaps to add on as a nitrogen credit if with fertilization.
I'm glad to see you doing this. This is there's been so much speculation about nutrient cycling within the plant, and so many assumptions made that really have not been tested.
Correct.
We really need that. Some locations we see response to nitrogen, and some we don't.
Right.
And how much of that is deep nitrate supply that's being tapped, we just don't know.
Yeah.
And the switchgrass, do you have any feel for how deep the roots are going, for example, at Stillwater or at Haskell? Is that very permeable soil? Can you get pretty deep in that?
Yeah, at the Stillwater site, we seem to be hitting a plow layer, an old plow layer, and so they're not going very deep. We're talking, maybe a foot, 2 feet, maybe. So
then you can contain your experimentation into your sampling quite nicely.
But right.
But Haskell does go deep, doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah, and we did not do that seasonally at Haskell, so.
The reason for this study is that there's a big push for switchgrass and biofuel stuff, and then politicians and others always think this is something you don't need to worry about. You always get high yield because the nutrient recycles back to the rhizome or roots for the next season. But we look through literature, there's nothing to really
back that up.
Now it is to try to find the mechanism.
Very important.
Yes.
What stage of growth was the switchgrass? Is this an establishment year on the switchgrass, or has this been established prior?
The one in Stillwater has been established for 10 years or more, so it's been there. The Haskell, it's on about its I think it's third year establishment. So yes.
What about your source of nitrogen? Are you using urea, ammonium nitrate? Maybe you said it, I missed it.
Using urea.
Using agritain or something to prevent volatilization?
No. We're just broadcasting it out.
Back on Jeff's comment from earlier about the pools, it takes a long time for the switchgrass to really establish not only just getting extra yield, but actually get that root system down.
Right.
And to get to the point where you're actually turning over roots.
Yeah.
And I don't know much about root turnover. I've heard, roots can last 2 or 3 years or so. I don't know, but there is nitrogen in those turnover roots, which is not readily available for translocation up. And then there is soluble nitrogen or storage nitrogen, perhaps,
right,
which is readily available. And how much of that is in the crown versus deeper roots? I'd imagine that that's probably more crown located, that more soluble type.
Yeah.
That'd be really neat to look at.
Yeah.
For next student.
Right.
The question I had was, Josh's, on that non-responsive side, could you see a change in greener?
A little, but not really appreciably. At the Stillwater site, you can definitely see, differences. But just visually at the Haskell site, there was, there was a little, but not much at all.
It visually matched what you actually measured.
Yeah.
I'll make one last comment. You may want to think about doing an N15 trial on the field as well, following on what Chuck said about early mobilization, because you can go out there with a stable isotope and non-radioactive, put it on the field as the plants green up, see if they're even able to take up nitrogen. Some of the early work done in France on ryegrass and some other grass species suggests that after cutting or early in the spring, there's something with uptake. And there is a lot of recycling internally on some grasses. So you can use the N15 in the field as well as in the greenhouse trials.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.